Some families of gnomes had grown rich and powerful and took the names, more or less, of the stored apartments they lived under, the Del Ikatesan, the Ironmongery, the Haberdashery. And into the store, on the back of a lorry, came the last gnomes to live outside. They knew what wind and rain were, all right. That's why they'd try to leave them behind. Among them was Masklin, Rat Hunter, and Granny Morky and Grimmer, although they were women and didn't really count, and of course there was The Thing. No one quite understood The Thing. Masklin's people had handed it down for centuries. It was very important, that was all they knew. When it came near the electricity in the store, it was able to talk. It said it was a thinking machine from a ship which, thousands of years before, had brought the gnomes from a far store, or possibly star. It also said it could hear electricity talk, and one of the things the electricity was saying was that the store would be demolished in 3 weeks. It was Masklin who suggested that the gnomes should leave the store in a hurry. He found, oddly enough, that actually working out how you could drive a giant lorry was the easiest part. The hardest part was getting people to believe that they could do it. He wasn't the leader. He'd have liked to be a leader. A leader could stick his chin out and do brave things. What Masklin had to do was argue and persuade and sometimes lie very slightly. He found it was often easier to get people to do things if you let them think it was their idea. Ideas. That was the tricky bit, all right. And there were lots of ideas that they needed. They needed to learn to work together. They needed to learn to read. They needed to think that female gnomes were, well, nearly as intelligent as males, although everyone knew that really this was ridiculous, and that if females were encouraged to think too much, their brains overheated. Anyway, it all worked. The lorry did leave the store just before it mysteriously burned down, and, hardly damaging anything very much, was driven out into the country. The gnomes found an abandoned quarry tucked into a hillside and moved into the ruined buildings, and then, they knew, everything was going to be all right. There was going to be, they'd heard, a bright new dawn. Of course, most gnomes had never seen a dawn, bright or otherwise, and if they had, they would have known that the trouble with bright new dawns is that they're usually followed by cloudy days, with scattered showers. 6 months passed. This is the story of the winter. This is the great battle. This is the story of the awakening of Jacob, the dragon in the hill, with eyes like great eyes, and a voice like a great voice, and teeth like great teeth. But the story didn't end there. It didn't start there, either. The sky blew a gale. The sky blew a fury. The wind became a wall sweeping across the country, a giant stamping on the land. Small trees bent, big trees broke. The last leaves of autumn whirred through the air like lost bullets. The rubbish heap by the gravel pits was deserted. The seagulls that patrolled it had found shelter somewhere, but it was still full of movement. The wind tore into the heap as though it had something particular against old detergent boxes and leftover shoes. Tins rolled into the ruts and clanked miserably, while lighter bits of rubbish flew up and joined the riot in the sky. Still, the wind burrowed. Papers rustled for a while, then got caught and blasted away. Finally, one piece that had been flapping for hours tore free and flew up into the booming air. It looked like a large white bird with oblong wings. Watch it tumble. It gets caught on a fence, but very briefly. Half of it tears off, and now, that much lighter, it pinwheels across the furrows of the field beyond. It is just gathering speed when a hedge looms up and snaps it out of the air like a fly. Chapter 1. And in that time were strange happenings. The air moved harshly. The warmth of the sky grew less. On some mornings the tops of puddles grew hard and cold. And the gnomes said unto one another, "What is this thing?" From the Book of Gnome, Quarries 1, verses 1 to 2. "Winter," said Masklin firmly. "It's called winter." Abbot Gerda frowned at him. "You never said it would be like this," he said. "It's so cold." "Call this cold?" said Granny Morky. "Cold? This ain't cold. You think this is